Welcome to Voices,
a podcast from the Institute for Human Rights and Business.
Here, we're seeking to elevate the range of perspectives
on the role of business in the world
and in people's everyday lives.
Hello, everybody. This is Francesca Fairbairn from the Institute for Human Rights and Business. I'm in London, and today I'm speaking to Deepika Rao in Bangalore, who is a program director at CiviDep, which is a civil society organization focusing on worker rights in Bangalore. Deepika's work with CiviDep has been covered in a previous podcast with Salil Tripathi, which you can find on IHRB's Voices podcast channel. But today we're going to be talking about Deepika's previous work. Deepika has a career in marine engineering and spent 5 years as a maintenance engineer on board merchant oil tankers. So this is of particular interest to IHRB because we're currently developing a program on responsible shipping, and also because this year's World Maritime Day, which the theme was empowering women in the maritime community. So welcome, Deepika.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for agreeing to do another podcast with IHRB. So I'd like to start by asking you, what drew you to marine engineering and so how you came to become a marine engineer?
I've done my schooling and in Bombay, and that is where I learned about this industry. Basically, one of my relatives is also in shipping, and I was drawn to it because it offered good money, travel, independence. So yeah, that's what drew me to this sector. And yeah, that's how I ended up studying 4 years for this.
And what did your work involve?
So I joined the industry as a trainee, but then over 5 years, I moved up to the rank of an independent watchkeeping engineer. So that basically involved me keeping an independent watch in the engine room to check if all the machineries are running fine, carry out small maintenance work, and also be involved in larger, like, breakdown maintenance if something stops working.
Right. And how long were you at sea for at a time?
At a time, say about 4.5 to 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So presumably women comprise a very small minority of the vessel crew. Is that right?
Very much in the minority. Very, very few women. In the 5 years that I was there, I sailed with two women on two of the ships that I did.
And did you experience any issues being a sole female on board these ships with largely male crew?
Yes. I mean, the normal issues that come with spending 6 months at a time away from family and away from any other kind of social contact, those were common for all of us. We were about 24 to 25 of us at a time on a vessel. And most of my sailing career, I was the only woman on board. Issues were, of course, I mean, the crew was mostly Indian, and with that came the typical patriarchal mindset that these men brought to the work at sea. In all their sailing lives, they had very, very rarely sailed with a woman, and so it was kind of an occasion or a rarity that I was sailing with them. And then that kind of led to sometimes good friendships, but also sometimes very nasty incidents, harassment issues, or just plain everyday discrimination and prejudice.
And do you think the situation is improving over time for women on board these ships, either in terms of opportunities or encouragement from within the maritime industry?
Yeah, I think the situation is improving, at least as much as I've been in touch with my colleagues and people who are still in are studying in my college or have just joined the industry, the women. In India, the Indian Women Seafarers Foundation was started, basically trying to bring together all women seafarers in India under one association to advocate for their rights. And I think that they have done some good work in the few years of their existence already. Then other than that, I've also come across instances where companies are encouraging women seafarers to come and join this industry, come and join their company. Also a little bit of sensitization of people or seniors that these women will be working with. So I think small steps, baby steps, have been taken in the right direction.
And more generally, just about crew and life aboard these vessels, were you aware of or did you witness any potential or actual human rights violations around these tankers? And by that I mean either on board or in port. Perhaps if you did, you could describe these a little.
Yeah, I was sailing on oil tankers, which carried oil from, say, Africa, Middle East, US, were very common routes for us. Basically, I took a sort of a safe route into the industry. I graduated from a college which was still well known, and there were a lot of big companies coming and picking up trainees for their ships. So that was a safe route of joining this industry. And that also meant that I joined a company which was amongst the best, if not one of the best in the industry. So the grave human rights abuses, the chances were very slim. We did not witness those because we worked for such companies which more or less followed the human rights principles. What I did witness was a little bit serious environmental violations which happened. There was regular dumping of oil in the sea, which was clearly everyone doing it knew it was illegal, but they were still doing it because they just somehow had an understanding with the company that this had to be done. Otherwise, disposing it off in the right way was too expensive. What we also routinely witnessed was work hour, rest hour violations. So we had to maintain very, very strict work hours because we are independent watchkeeping officers, and if anything happens during our watch time, we will be held legally responsible for endangering...
Personally,
yes. So for endangering lives as well as effect that any incident could have on the environment. So we had to maintain strict work and rest hours, which we did not in practice, but on paper, it was maintained really strictly. So that was something that I did witness. Then I told you, so everyday work was one aspect of a woman's job on the ship is to deal with the discrimination, bias and prejudice. That is like an everyday work that the women in the industry, it's a part of their curriculum when they are learning that they have to just deal with this kind of discrimination. At least when I was sailing, and even now I think there are no structural protections for women or safe spaces where they can go and speak if they are being harassed, where they can go and complain or seek counseling. These structures do not exist. In maybe the cream of the shipping industry, there is some improvement, like substantial improvement. But I think majority of the shipping industry, which does employ thousands of women from around the world, these structures are missing.
And what would you say is the biggest human rights threat across the kind of transport shipping industry? Not what you didn't see, but what would you consider to be the biggest threat?
The biggest threat, this is more not from first-hand experience, but more what I have been reading after I quit shipping, actually. So I have been reading about the slave labor involved in fishing and the fishing trawlers, which for years together are stationed hundreds of miles away from closest land, and the migrant workers who work there. In the merchant shipping that I have been involved in, there are again companies which are more of, you know, fly-by-night sort of companies which do a lot of illegal trade and have a lot of violations across human rights and under labor rights. The people more closer home, I routinely hear from colleagues and from my husband, who is still a sailor, that the people are overworked. There is always a tussle between what is good for business and what is good for the crew and for the ship, and mostly always the business aspects win the battle. And the crew is overworked, the ship maintenance takes a toll and all of that. Yeah. And other than that, there are other threats as well. There are threats of piracy when we are sailing, that there can be some waters which are not safe for carrying the cargo, like the West African waters or the Gulf of Aden. So those were some of the threats that we did. I mean, we did not face directly, but it loomed while we worked on the ship sometimes.
So where do you see the main areas of improvement?
Yeah. So basically, I think that, I mean, a little bit of progress has happened, like I was telling you. At least on paper in India, we are seeing some changes. And recently, the government has also issued a notification to all shipping companies employing Indian women that they must have in place structures for dealing with sexual harassment, for dealing with other forms of harassment and maternity benefits for women, as well as discrimination. So I think such steps are being taken in the right direction, but really the implementation, again, is largely left upon men who are the people who may be the oppressors. Many times we see that the oppressors in cases of harassment on a ship are the captain and the chief engineer or a senior officer who's also responsible for implementation of such safeguards. So it's really very important for companies to pay heed to such issues on board and measure. It is good to have these structures in place where you have a formal complaint mechanism, but then in case a woman is being harassed by a senior that who's supposed to be protecting her, then she really has a very little avenue to seek any solace or justice.
Yeah. So there is legislation or there is government backing for those improvements. It's just now the companies that need to implement it.
Exactly. Right? Implement. And again, the monitoring, my experience in CBDEP tells me that the monitoring of legislations is always weak. So the government will hardly be looking at companies whether they're doing it or not. And it will be largely left upon them to implement these in the right spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you very much, Deepika. That's really, really interesting. And good luck with your continued work with CBDEP. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.